From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Today is Yom HaShoah, Holocaust Remembrance Day. It's meant to remember and honor the lives of the 6 million Jewish people whom the Nazis murdered in the Holocaust in World War II. Among the traditions are prayers and the lighting of 6 candles representing the 6 million lives lost. Another way we work to remember not only the horrors of the Holocaust, but the strength and humanity of the people who endured and survived it, are through artifacts displayed in museums. Typically, these are items you can only see, but a new exhibit making its way across Illinois will also let you hear some of these artifacts. Violins of Hope is a collection of 70 restored string instruments. It includes cellos, violas, and of course violins, and it tells the stories of Jewish musicians who play these instruments before and during the Holocaust. Joining us now are the father and son duo who are maintaining and sharing this collection, Amnon and Avshalom Weinstein. We're also joined by Dr. James Grimes, professor of musicology at the University of North Carolina and the author of the book Violins of Hope, Instruments of Hope and Liberation in Mankind's Darkest Hour. And also with us is Eileen Ullman, Director of Community Engagement for Jewish Community Centers of Chicago, which is helping bring Violins of Hope to Illinois. Amnon, Avshalom, James, and Eileen, thank you all so much for being with us today on The 21st Show. And listeners, I also want to invite you to join our conversation today at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. And Amnon, I want to begin with you. Can you talk about how did this collection of violins start?
It's a long story. I will try to do it as short as possible. In 1936, Bronislav Huberman, the greatest violinist, Jewish one, of course, thought that something wrong is coming to Europe. He was in Germany, and he had seen the tendencies there. And then he decided, when they began to throw away all the Jewish musicians from all the orchestras, to create a symphonic orchestra in Tel Aviv, at which time it was completely desert, you know, we can say. And he came over all over the world to ask for help, to ask for money, to ask for to do everything. And then the orchestra was created. Arturo Toscanini is a great conductor, was the conductor in the end. And then I have to join here. Most of these musicians, violinists in this case, and cellists and viola players, have had German-made instruments in their possessions. Now, on 1945, when the war ended, and all the atrocities arrived to the knowledge of us, of the people staying in Israel, Palestine at that time, there was a boycott of everything made in Germany. Even though that there was no problem between the Jewish musician and the Jewish violin and the German violin makers, even violin were in the boycott, and the people came to my father in those times and told him very simply, if you're not buying the violin, we are going to break it. And that's the beginning of our collection, and then continuation, it's long story.
Yeah. So Avshalom, I want to bring you into the conversation now. Can you say more about collecting these instruments in the years after World War II? So what we heard from your father there is that there were threats because there was a boycott of anything German made, right? There's a threat to destroy some of these instruments. Why preserve them?
First of all, the instruments themselves didn't do harm. They did belong to Jewish people. They were made in Germany, yes, but many years before the war. So it had nothing to do with Nazism or anything like that. On the contrary, from what we know today, the vast majority of German violin makers were very good friends with Jewish people. Sometimes they helped them by buying their instruments, giving them money, or even sometimes hiding them at home. And this was the founding instruments of our collection. And today we have, like you mentioned, we have over 70 instruments. Many of them, they have stories of people who play them in the war, in different camps, ghettos, and other places. And it is important to keep this memory alive. We know that there are less and less survivors. And having those instruments, you cannot compare them to a survivor, but it is something that comes almost as close as you can get, I think.
James Grimes, I want to bring you into the conversation now. You're the author of Violins of Hope, Instruments of Hope and Liberation in Mankind's Darkest Hour. Tell us about the historical significance of these instruments.
As Avshi mentioned, you know, they stand as kind of a different type of survivor. As Avshi said, unfortunately, with every passing year, there are fewer human Holocaust survivors among us to tell us their stories, especially on major days like Yom HaShoah and International Holocaust Remembrance Day. So these instruments, in a small way, perhaps, stand in their place. They are memorials, they're testaments, but also they're voices that come alive again. And as Brian, as you mentioned in the intro, you know, these instruments, they will and do make beautiful museum pieces, but the heart of the Violins of Hope project is that they come alive again on the concert stage. There is an instrument in the collection, one that will be coming to Illinois, from that was played in Auschwitz. And it was passed down. It was purchased from a survivor, and the man who purchased it passed it down to his sons, who had this instrument with them. And, you know, they didn't really know what to do with it. Do you sell it? Do you give it to a museum? And they brought it to Amnon and Avshi and the Violins of Hope Project. And when I interviewed them about, you know, what it means to them to have brought this instrument to the collection, what really resonated with me was when one of the sons said, you know, this violin will go on after me for many generations.
And I want to come back to that notion, but I first want to bring in Eileen Ullman as well, who is with JCC in Chicago. Talk about what it took to get this exhibit and program really together across Illinois.
Well, you know, JCC Chicago is the largest JCC in North America, and we're the only JCC in Illinois. And our CEO always talks about how we like to grow good kids and compassionate kids, thinking kids, kids who will make a difference in the world to come. And we had a board member who had heard about the exhibition in Arizona. And she came to us and said, JCC we need to be spearheading this. We need to host this exhibition and bring these stories to the city and to the state. And so we started this before COVID, and we had to kind of put some of it on hold during COVID. But as soon as things started to get to the new normal, we knew that we needed to really continue on with it. And if you would have told me 5 years ago that we'd be with 100 different events all across the state, then I would have been amazed. But honestly, as I reached out to find partners for exhibition, for performance, and for education, it's not a hard sell. Everybody kind of understands that the messages of hope, resilience, and resistance that these violins tell is something that's sorely needed today.
Let me take a moment to remind listeners, if you're just joining us, this is the 21st show. Today is Yom HaShoah, the Holocaust Remembrance Day. We're talking about an exhibit and a set of performances called Violins of Hope. These are cellos, violas, and violins that were played, in many cases, by Jewish musicians before and during the Holocaust. We're talking about this with Amnon and Avshalom Weinstein, who are a father and son duo who are maintaining and sharing this collection. Dr. James Grimes, a professor of musicology at the University of North Carolina and the author of Violins of Hope, Instruments of Hope and Liberation in Mankind's Darkest Hour. And Eileen Ullman, director of community engagement for Jewish Community Centers of Chicago, which is helping bring this exhibit to Illinois. Avshi, if I may, can you just tell us a story behind one of these instruments, one that stands out to you?
Of course I will, but just don't make sure that everybody knows. We don't have, I personally don't have a favorite story. I think that all stories are extremely important and we should keep them as part of the memory and the history. One of the, probably the latest violin that we got, it belonged to a guy who was he was in a concentration camp, a few concentration camps in Germany and Austria, but he was lucky enough to be able to leave Europe just before the war started. He moved to United States, he joined the US Army, and there was a special training camp, it was called Camp Ritchie, that they trained special investigators, frontline investigators. As he was speaking very good German, he was part of it, and he was later on sent back to Europe, and he was investigating prisoners of war, as he was basically a prisoner of war with the Germans, spying on them in the camps, in the POW camps, and giving intelligence to the Americans. And he spent like that almost 1.5 years. And the violin that we have is the violin that was with him basically every single day of his service, before the service and of course after, and he kept on playing it all the time. And we keep on finding all these amazing stories one after the other.
You know, maybe you can speak as well on, there's something special about, you don't hear as much about, you know, somebody finding a drum that somebody had played years ago. There's something about a violin or a string instrument like a violin in that category that, you know, these instruments are sometimes kept and played for hundreds of years. Can you just talk about what makes these, as an instrument category, special and why they're able to live on so long?
Well, we have instruments which are about 500 years of age. Somehow, first of all, people see their instrument as something very precious, so they try to take very good care. You could build a case for violin. To build a case for drum in all the times, it was very difficult. Drums are made with leather. The leather dies. The wood is different. Violins, the way they are done, when you dry the wood for a long time and then you do it and then you put the varnish and you preserve it, they can go on for a very long time. Unlike other musical instruments, which unfortunately, like woodwinds and brass, die with time, violins, violas, and cellos can be replaced. Some of their parts can be replaced if needed. Even if they are broken to pieces, you can still put them back together. And they are still here. I mean, even though some of them were played outside in horrifying conditions, they are still here.
Amnon, can you and your son are master violin makers. Can you talk about some of the work that goes into getting these instruments able to make music again?
It's a long story, because you have to open every violin like that and to see what's going on inside, what happened to it with the time. Sometimes we have surprises when we are opening instruments, like one violin that it was Svelstika inside the violin, and the year 1936 and Heil Hitler. Can you imagine something like that? I've had a violin with a dust, black dust inside, because the guy played not far from the crematorium. I repaired this violin, and then he told me everything about it. To work on these violins, it's very, very difficult and very special, because you are holding a piece of history, and you know the history, and then you have to do your best that this violin will continue to play, to be a part of music life. And this is the most important part of our mission, we can say, because the violin can talk. And those violin, after we are doing all this restoration, they are talking, they are telling their stories. And this is so important. And, you know, I found so many, many, many problems with repairing these violins. For example, we got a violin that belongs to a woman who played in the Alma Rose Orchestra in Birkenau. And this was the violin that they kept in home when she was in the camp. And nobody was touching this violin for many years. And then when she survived, she continued to play on it. And the son gave me this violin, and it was looking perfect. I opened the violin, and it was eaten by woodworms. And wow. This was so long work to do to save it.
To save it,
and
yes.
I was afraid that in the end, it would be impossible to play. If we don't do any music.
I'm going to ask you to pause there. We have to take a break on the show, I'm sorry to say, and we will come back and continue this conversation after a short break. This is the 21st show. It's Yom HaShoah, Holocaust Remembrance Day. Stay with us. This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. Today is Yom HaShoah, Holocaust Remembrance Day, and we are talking about an exhibit and a series of performances. It's called Violins of Hope, a collection of 70 restored violins, violas, cellos. They all have stories of the Jewish musicians who played these instruments before and during the Holocaust. We're talking with Amnon and Avshalom Weinstein, who are master violin makers, a father-son duo, who are maintaining and sharing this collection. Dr. James Grimes, a professor of musicology at the University of North Carolina and the author of Violins of Hope, Instruments of Hope and Liberation in Mankind's Darkest Hour. And Eileen Ullman, Director of Community Engagement for Jewish Community Centers of Chicago, which is helping bring Violins of Hope to Illinois. 800-222-9455 is the number to join our conversation today. That's 800-222-9455. And Amnon, I'm sorry I had to interrupt you before the break, but you were telling the story of this violin you were restoring that had been eaten. Worms had eaten inside the wood as you were working to restore it. I imagine it must be a very, in addition to just physically difficult and the challenges that come with the craft, there must be an emotional toll to working on these instruments.
Oh, yeah. You know, when you know the story, it's making the work a little bit more difficult. I was working on the highest level violin in the world, and this is completely different. And I will go back to this violin, belongs to this lady from the woman orchestra. And I have to say that the first time in my life, and today I'm 84, that I was afraid that the violin will not be okay, is this violin after all this huge work that I have done, because the damage that the woodworm have done there, it's unbelievable. And then a young boy came to the workshop and we asked him to play some notes on this violin. And I have to say that I got the shock of my life. The sound is wonderful. So in this case, you have a payment for all the efforts that you are doing, because this violin is going to for generation. And every time you can play on it and tell the story of this lady who played in the woman orchestra, which is something unbelievable. And how to say, I don't have words to say that, you know, in this case, you're putting alive this woman. Her name was Violet Silberstein. And she even wrote a book about her time in Birkenau, Auschwitz. And to me, it was really trembling to give the violin to a violinist and to hear the few notes, the beginning few notes. You cannot imagine that. Unbelievable.
I want to play some music from one of these violins. We're going to listen to a clip. This is the Jewish violinist Jonah Cartman playing during a press conference last week in Cook County. James Grimes, can you tell us a little bit about what we're listening to?
The you're hearing the sound of this violin, and I'm not sure. Do we happen to know which violin he was playing on just now?
I don't off the top of my head. Let me see if I can find that out. No, I don't. But I guess maybe in a more general sense.
Yeah, I think this idea that this music, whether it's Bach, as we can hear, or anything else, when there's a timeless factor to it. And, you know, they always say, there's a saying, you know, that music is the international language, and that's quite problematic because every culture has its own type of music. But I think the essence of that is this idea of music making as a quintessentially human activity. And so the stories that we learn through these violins of these Jews in concentration camps and ghettos in the very worst of times in recorded history. But no matter how dark those times, they held on to their music, they held on to their violins, and that's what gave them hope.
Avshi, what do you feel when you hear one of these instruments make music?
It's a good feeling in the end, because when you put so much effort in restoring the instrument and also to build such a project, like in Chicago, it's a few years' work. And it's always nice to hear what comes out of it. It's also nice to hear what the musician think about what they can take out of it. So it's always a very good feeling.
Eileen Ullman, I want to end, I think, with you. What do you hope people take away from these exhibits and concerts that are going to be taking place across Illinois?
I hope that it will inspire people to think differently, to act differently, to look at others as human beings, and to understand that there's value to every human life. And that that we need to treat one another with the respect that a human being should be treated with. And you know, I have a colleague who said to me, you know, if one child picks up a violin or an instrument instead of a gun, then I think we're doing good stuff. And I definitely feel that way. I watched the children this morning. I happen to be at Governor State University, and there's, you know, elementary age students listening to the violins. And I look at their reaction to the stories, and I think there's hope. There's hope for the future.
Well, Eileen Ullman, James Grimes, Amnon, and Avshalom Weinstein, thank you so much for being with us today on Yom HaShoah and helping us to never forget.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.